If you're a founder, a developer, or a designer, and you really believe your product has global potential, you always hit the same wall. It's the sheer complexity and the, frankly, exorbitant cost of just getting started internationally. It feels prohibitive. So today we're doing a deep dive. We've got a comprehensive dossier on a government-backed initiative in Dubai that seems, well, designed to just dismantle those barriers. We were talking about the N5 ecosystem. Our mission here is to cut through the marketing fluff, really get into the financial model, and give you the exact roadmap you need to get a spot.
What's really fascinating here is how a government is. It's fundamentally shifting its identity. I mean, for decades, the global standard has been the government as a strict regulator. You pay your fee, they stamp your paper. But N5 represents this huge economic pivot. Dubai is acting more like a strategic investor in innovation.
An investor.
Exactly. They're offering these staggering subsidies, not out of charity, but because they're strategically competing for future unicorns. They know the long-term return on growth just completely outweighs any short-term fee.
Okay, let's unpack this, because if we zoom out, this is so much more than just a real estate play. Mm-hmm. We need to cover what N5 is, why it's structured so differently from, you know, a standard free zone, and then get into the shocking financial breakdown, the actual numbers, and then the five-step meritocracy that decides who gets in, and just as important, why so many people get rejected.
Mm. All right, let's start with the architecture of this whole thing, because when people hear incubator, they probably picture a generic co-working space, maybe some free coffee. But the sources show N5 is a state-backed behemoth.
Precisely. You have to look at who is signing the check. The backing is from the Tecom Group. This isn't some small municipal program. Tecom is the massive holding company that owns Dubai Internet City, Dubai Media City.
So the big ones.
All the big ones.
Yeah.
That means when you join N5.5, your address isn't just an address. You are immediately plugged into an ecosystem where, you know, Google and Microsoft are your neighbors.
And that Tecom Foundation, like you said, that explains the big strategic difference. If I go to a normal free zone, the government is just a regulator, licensed for a fee. Exactly. It's a paper transaction. It's about compliance. The N5 model, on the other hand, positions the government as a gatekeeper and an investor. They're using Tecom's financial muscle to just slash your setup costs. They're basically saying, we'll handle the capital expense if you deliver high growth innovation.
A bet on your future success.
It's a bet on your success. And that's why the infrastructure is so world class. Your success reflects directly on their brand.
And they keep it incredibly focused by splitting the whole thing into three pillars.
Yeah.
They're clearly not looking for just anyone.
Yeah, the specialization is key. First, you've got N5 Tech. This is the digital backbone. We're talking software, AI, blockchain, SaaS. If your product is code, this is your home.
Right. Then there's N5 Media.
Which is for the modern creative industry. So content creators, production houses, digital agencies. And this pillar gets access to some really expensive physical assets.
And the third one.
N5 Design. This is for physical and aesthetic innovation. Think fashion designers, architects, industrial product designers. It just makes sure founders are surrounded by peers facing similar challenges. You don't have a fashion designer trying to get advice from a blockchain engineer.
Okay, we've covered the structure, but let's get to the elephant in the room, the money. How did they manage to drop the cost so dramatically? Because that financial barrier, it's the single biggest killer for global expansion plans.
It all comes down to the most fundamental cost, the trade license. This is your legal right to operate, and pretty much everywhere else, this is a steep, steep hill to climb.
So in a standard setup, if I just walk into any other free zone without this incubator backing, I'm looking at what?
So we're talking about 15,000 to 25,000 UAE dirhams a year, just for the piece of paper.
In an N5.
They just annihilated that barrier. For an accepted member, the annual trade license is 1,000 AED. Just 1,000 AED. For our listeners globally, that's roughly $270 US a year. And that's fixed for your first 3 years. It's a massive signal from the government that they care more about your innovation than your fees.
Okay, wait. If the license is that cheap, what's the catch? Is the company's scope super restricted? Is there some mandatory investment you have to make? I mean, why give it away?
That's the critical question. The catch is really twofold. First, you have to fit into one of those pillars, tech, media, or design, and you have to prove you're innovative. We'll get to that. Second, they're not giving away residency for free. They're selling access to a subsidized business structure. The goal is to get you building your product as fast as possible.
That makes sense. Trade upfront fees for long-term economic growth, but You still need a physical presence, don't you? For the residency visa, for a corporate bank account, you need a commercial address, and Jari, right? You can't run it from a hotel room.
Correct. And this is the second major cost. But instead of forcing you into an expensive private office, they offer the subsidized FlexiDesk solution.
And the price point for that legal address?
The FlexiDesk is about 15,000 AED per year. That's roughly 4,000 US dollars. And it's inclusive of VAT, utilities, everything. It covers that physical Ajari requirement.
And for that $4,000 a year, you're not just getting a P.O. box. You said 247 access to high-end facilities.
Absolutely. I mean, it's an operating expense, but a very efficient one. You get 247 access to these incredible co-working hubs, high-speed fiber internet, free meeting rooms, 3D printing labs. And crucially, your address is legally in Dubai Internet City. That's a badge of credibility right there.
Okay, now let's talk about the payoff for the founder themselves. The residency visa. This is often the real prize.
The Free Zone Investor Visa is highly sought after. It's a robust 3-year validity, which gives you real stability. And the total cost per person is surprisingly low. You're looking at about 3,000 to 3,500 AED, maybe 800 or 900 US dollars.
And that covers everything. The entry permit, the medical test, the Emirates ID card.
The whole journey. And it's an exceptionally quick process once that trade license is in your hand.
What about your team?
That's the other great part. The allocation is generous. You get up to 4 visas, 1 for the founder, and 3 for your core team members, so you can hit the ground running.
So if we add this all up, for the first year, license, desk, 1 founder's visa, what are we looking at?
All in, you land somewhere between 20,000 and 25,000 AED, so 5.5 to maybe 7,000 US dollars.
And compared to the alternative?
A traditional setup, mainland, or even another free zone, you'd easily be looking at 60,000 AED or more upfront. That's over $16,000 before you've written a single line of code. In5 forces you to spend your money on your product, not on bureaucracy.
So the money part is a much lower hurdle, but the barrier to entry is still high. It's about merit. Money doesn't talk here. Product and team do. Let's walk through that 5-step roadmap to get in.
It starts with step 1, the online submission. It's a standard form, but the key document you need is a polished pitch deck or a really detailed business plan. They need to see the problem, your solution, market analysis, and a coherent revenue model.
And the sources are all screaming one thing here. Have an MVP, a minimum viable product. If you can show them code or a prototype, something tangible, your chances go up tenfold. A PowerPoint is cheap. Code is commitment.
That proof of execution gets you to step 2, validation and shortlisting. The internal In5 team is the first filter. They're checking. Is it scalable? Is it actually tech-driven? Does it fit their vision? Pass that, and you get the application shortlisted email.
Which brings you to step 3, the pitch to the committee. This is the boss fight, the real test.
It's entirely merit-based. You're invited, it can be online or in person, to present to a panel of VCs, industry experts. It's a quick 8-minute pitch, then a tough Q&A. They are testing your business acumen, not your slides.
What are they trying to find out in that Q&A? What are the killer questions?
Yeah.
They're looking for holes in your thinking. The 3 questions every founder has to nail are, 1, how do you actually make money? They want unit economics, not just, we'll sell ads later. 2, what's your go-to-market strategy? How will you get users? And 3, this is a big one, why Dubai? They're not subsidizing a project that could just as easily be in London. They want to see a strategic reason for you to be there.
That's a powerful filter. Okay, so you get through the pitch. What's next?
Step 4 is just admin, acceptance, and lease signing. You sign the FlexiDesk agreement, pay that roughly 16,000 AED for the desk and license, and you get your official trade license. You're a legal entity.
And with that paper in hand, you move to the final step, step 5, the visa process.
That's right. The system is built for speed. After you're accepted, you get the entry permit, do the medical tests, and within a few weeks, that 3-year residency visa is stamped in your passport.
And here's where it gets really interesting. The financial saving is just the price of admission. The real value is unlocking things that, honestly, money just can't buy.
Let's start with the legal framework, which is huge for international founders. The key benefit is 100% ownership. Because it's a free zone, you own all the equity. It completely eliminates the need for a local Emirati sponsor, the old cocky system, where a local partner had to own 51%.
That's a massive stress reduction right there. No complex partnership negotiations.
Absolutely. Full control. Beyond that, the physical proximity to capital is a game changer. You get instant investor access. You're in the same building as VCs and angel investors who are constantly scouting the Inf5 pipeline.
And they have demo days to connect you.
Regular demo days, yeah. But for tech firms, the infrastructure subsidies are often the most staggering benefit. I'm talking about cloud credits.
Right.
Startups routinely get these support packages. We're talking $10,000 up to $100,000 in free cloud credits from AWS, Microsoft Azure, Google Cloud. For a SaaS founder, that just wipes out your infrastructure costs for the first couple of years.
That is capital you don't have to raise or spend. And there are perks for the other pillars too.
Correct. For media startups, an NFI provides access to gear that would cost a fortune. We're talking professional green screen studios, recording booths, high-end editing suites, all included or heavily discounted. They're providing the tools of the trade.
So, to maximize your chances of getting in, you have to know what they reject. What are the big red flags that make the committee say no?
The committee is looking for proof of execution, so the number one reason for rejection is simple: no MVP. If you only bring a PowerPoint, no matter how beautiful, but you have no code, no prototype, they see you as high risk. They want builders, not just talkers.
The second one is about originality.
Yes, a lack of innovation. If your idea is just another Uber for X with no real tech differentiator, you're probably out. The market is saturated with copycats. They want something globally scalable.
Number three seems to be about financial literacy.
A vague revenue model, it's a fatal flaw. You can't just say, we'll figure out monetization later. The committee needs to see a concrete, defendable plan for how you will make money. You have to know your numbers.
And finally, even though they allow solo founders, it seems they really prefer teams.
Absolutely. They flag solo founder risk. They much prefer teams with complementary skills. You know, a tech lead who can build it and a business lead who can sell it. A team shows resilience and a much lower risk of burnout.
So, what does this all mean? When you boil it all down, the main takeaway seems to be that Involve5 is explicitly for builders. It's a meritocracy for founders who have a product and are ready to execute. This isn't some shortcut for people just looking to, buy residency.
That $4,000 annual fee for the desk, it's negligible in the grand scheme of things. You have to see it as the ticket price to enter the global major leagues. It buys you massive subsidies, incredible infrastructure, and
Right.
most importantly, proximity to the VCs who are looking for their next big investment.
So if the cost barrier is slashed, the need for a local sponsor is gone, and the government itself provides the infrastructure and expertise. What does it mean for the future of innovation when governments stop just regulating and start competing to be the world's most supportive investor in new tech? The founders who succeed here will be the ones who answer that question with their execution.